You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
President Trump is in Charleston, South Carolina today to attend the rollout of a new plane from Boeing, the 787-10 Dreamliner.
This visit will give the president an opportunity to celebrate a huge milestone for thousands of workers at Boeing, America's number one exporter, and the millions of American workers involved in aerospace.
The Boeing plant employs about 7,500 people, a number that has grown steadily since Boeing opened up shop in the state in 2008. The company's decision to move some operations to South Carolina was the result of a strike of nearly 30,000 of its employees in the company's traditional home base in the Pacific Northwest over concerns of outsourcing, job security, and low pay, organized by a union, the International Association of Machinists. In South Carolina, though, Boeing found a very different, more southern approach to unions.
And finally, I am always proud to say we don't have unions in South Carolina because we don't need unions in South Carolina.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, now ambassador to the United Nations, speaking there in 2013. But that sentiment has been shared across the country in recent decades. Union membership currently stands at about 11% among American workers. Cut that in half from 23% in 1980. This week, both Boeing and the country's relationship to unions was put to the test when Boeing's South Carolina workers overwhelmingly rejected a move to unionize by a vote of 3-1. Jeff Hirsch is a law professor at UNC Chapel Hill who specializes in labor relations.
South Carolina, among other particularly southern states, they've made their pitch to companies as a low-cost, low-wage, non-union state and attracted, for instance, a lot of car manufacturers have moved into the South. And so they view it as a hit to that competitiveness if they start becoming known as a place where workers will actually vote to unionize. So for them, that was important that the union vote went against the union in this case.
How hard did the union try to work in South Carolina, and how many workers were at stake here?
The number of workers voting was about 3,000. The mechanics union, who was involved, had worked quite hard. I mean, in fact, they almost had an election in 2015, but pulled back, I believe, because it looked like they were going to lose. So this has been a multi-year effort. And, you know, they had a lot at stake, both economically, because there was obviously a lot of workers involved. And frankly, the symbolism was quite large for them. It would have been a huge feather in their cap if, in response to Boeing opening up a plant in non-union South Carolina, as opposed to expanding the work in Washington State, which is what the union wanted, if they had actually managed to unionize that plant, it would have really been quite a big deal for them. So the loss definitely hurts, and frankly, the margin of loss, 74-26, was really quite large.
So would we say that the center of mass at the Boeing Corporation and the aerospace industry in the United States, at least on the commercial side, is moving to the South like the auto industry did a generation ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as obvious of a trend as it is in the automotive industry now. That said, to the extent that they're expanding, you would certainly expect them to look in the South at this point. I mean, whether in fact they're expanding is a different question. One of the issues I think that hung over the election in this case was the fact that Boeing had been engaging in talks or concerns about layoffs at that plant, which tends to drive down unionization interest.
In general, the president, since he's taken office, has made a very, very big deal about his jawboning corporations, his insisting that they stay in the United States, his insisting that they build manufacturing facilities here in the U.S. But he can't really take any credit for either the non-union vote or the jobs that are going to stay right here in South Carolina.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. It obviously predated even his campaign to a certain degree. And it's interesting. I mean, he's sort of Trump's approach and his influence on labor in the U.S. over the next few years is really an open question to me. I mean, as you said, a lot of his campaign focused on jobs, keeping jobs in the U.S., against some of the foreign trade pacts, even some of the environmental measures, right? Those are all things that help actually give him quite a fairly large share of the union vote. That said, he's also not known for being so particularly supportive of labor protections. So there's a bit of a tension there in some of his positions, and we'll just have to see as he and his appointees start to, you know, actually do some more regulations.
Well, it'd reveal their policies, reveal the kinds of management that they support, and hold more of these photo ops. I think that's going to be a clear indication of what the style is.
No, absolutely. And, well, you know, we just saw an interesting switch on the Department of Labor nominee. We haven't seen nominees to the Federal Labor Board, but those will be quite important as well.
You know, that motivates one final question. The NLRB has been very active in Boeing and machinist union conflicts and disputes down over the years. What do you think the new Labor Secretary's resume is going to say to the workers at Boeing?
As far as the new Labor Secretary, I think actually for workers, even those who may lean more Democratic, he's actually probably a pretty good nominee. I actually know him a little bit. We were both at the NLRB at the same time, and I mean he's Republican clearly, and so he's probably going to lean more towards employer interests. But I don't think he's as reactionary or as far to the spectrum as some of the other nominees we saw, including Puzder.
Partisanship aside, collaboration can be expected here, given the personalities that you've seen.
I think, you know, if Acosta is confirmed, I do think he is more than willing to work with folks across the aisle. So I do think there is some opportunity there, you know, and of course, assuming the president's willing to go along with it as well. But I do think there's a chance of that.
Jeff Hirsch is a law professor at UNC Chapel Hill who specializes in labor relations.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.